Welcome to the Del Wamsley Radio Show. Del challenges the status quo, questions everything, and empowers you to return to your core beliefs to make your life better. If you're ready to hear the truth and catch your roadmap to the lifestyle you really want, the next hour will change your life. And now, your host, self-made millionaire, national award-winning investor of the year, CEO and founder of Lifestyles Unlimited, Del Wamsley.
Welcome to Del Wamsley Radio Show, where the hype ends and help begins. And as always, we're working on your financial freedom. With me here today is an interesting gentleman by the name of Ed Dreas. Ed is out of Las Vegas. He is one of our ambassadors, both for Las Vegas and for Seattle. But also, he's got a very interesting story as to how he believed retirement was going to work for him. Ed, welcome to the show.
Thanks, Del. Pleasure to be here.
Hey, when you're here before, I thought it was interesting that you came up with the concept that your original idea before you ran into Lifestyles and everything was that you were going to load yourself up with what you called the FU money. I guess that stands for fun and totally unloved money, but whatever it is, the concept was you were going to have enough FU money that you could do whatever you want and no one could tell you what to do. And then you came along, and it looks like you got squeezed out of your job, maybe at the same time you wanted to, or maybe a little bit sooner. But all of a sudden, you decided that it was more important to have cash flow than to have a pile of change sitting in the bank. Why don't you share that story with us?
Sure, Del. So what happened was, I had this big pile of money, and I thought I was, thought I was doing really well. I happened to be talking to a gentleman who's a financial financial planner and so forth. And he said, Ed, that's great. You've got a nice big pile of money, but how many years are you going to live? What if you get sick? He says, I tell you, I've seen people like you before. You go in and you've lived this way, kind of a minimalist type living arrangement. And then all of a sudden you retire and you continue to live in that minimalist type approach because you're afraid you're going to run out of money. Right, so as soon as I heard him talk about that, I was like, "Oh my goodness, he's right. It's not about having the big pile of money. The big portfolio is all about cash flow." And that's when I started looking into different ways in order to obtain that cash flow that I needed.
Yeah, on that conversation, Ed, I've thought about it a little bit here this morning before I came on. I thought, what gets me about that theory and why I never could live with the pile of money theory was that if you start with a pile of money. Well, let's first of all take the psychology behind it. You work, you save, you work, you save, you live, like you said, a frugal lifestyle. And your joy in life was watching that pile get bigger. Would you not agree? That was your accomplishment. Make sense?
Oh, absolutely. Mm-hmm.
So what happens the second you stop working and saving? All of a sudden the pile starts getting smaller. And I would suggest that even if you think you have enough, when it starts going the other direction, it sends a chill down your spine. Did you ever have a moment when you were living off of it and it started going the other direction?
Yeah, actually, I didn't have that happen, but I would equate it to being on vacation and having a great time on vacation. You get to those last couple days and you got $50 left in your pocket, right? Then all of a sudden, you stop spending. But fortunately, when I did retire the first time, I had a big increase in the portfolio. But I still had that same mentality. I still worried about, oh my God, I'm going to run out. I don't have, I don't have the cash coming in to replace it.
Yeah, and there's something to say. I've read many books. Trying to think of the exact way to explain it. We'll use this term: the millionaire mentality. Or the millionaire next door. And the concept of the millionaire next door, the book that was written some 20 odd years back, was that the typical millionaire next door is a guy who owns his house free and clear, has a 401k, savings accounts, maybe some IRAs, and one day he just wakes up, he has a net worth of $1 million. He doesn't really have $1 million, but he's got a net worth of $1 million. It's tied up in all these different assets. And what they were saying about that person is that they lived. And I'm going to call it, got to be careful, I don't want to be too mean, but, semi-miserable life. In other words, they're not living life to the extreme. They're frugal. You know what I mean? They're pinch pennies and clip coupons and don't have the things they want. And when they get to retirement, they end up doing the same thing. In other words, even though they've got $1 million, they still live like they got about 25 cents hidden in the back drawer somewhere. What are your thoughts on that as a mentor? Do you see that in people?
Yeah, absolutely. I see to myself especially, right? Guilty as charged. And part of that is your upbringing, right? So, you know, coming from a family that, you know, was not born with the silver spoon in the mouth, I think, you know, that's what you learn to do, right? It's all about scrimping and saving and making those goals. That's what you learn to do. Of course, later on, through education and so forth, I was able to branch out and figure out there's other ways to approach this. But there still is. It's deep-seated, and I see the same thing. You know, there's the same traits in other folks that I work with as well, is that, you know, there's that fear of running out. It's kind of like the not having the abundance attitude, right, and mentality. And I think you just need to... In order to get over that, what you need to do is you need to educate yourself, number one, and then just keep working through in building out cash flow instead, you know, seeing cash flow as the win as opposed to building up more money in the money pile.
Now, when you found Lifestyles, how did you run into us, by the way? Just I haven't asked you that yet.
Yeah, so I had been living in Austin, Texas, and I was just driving around one day and heard some folks on the radio talk about investing in real estate and so forth, and it was different than what I had heard in the past, right? Because I had been to all the seminars and stuff, going as far back as Charles Gibbons back in Orlando, back in the 80s, and you know, had gone to a bunch of these things and so forth. But something really struck me. I can't put my finger on it right this very second as to what was different about it, but. It did resonate with me, and I did go, and I got involved in Lifestyles down in the, I think it was in the Austin or San Antonio, and went down to my first meeting.
Okay.
I had to say.
So you didn't come in poor. You had some money stashed away, both in cash and in your 401k, so you were sitting pretty good. And when we come back from the break, I'm going to take this from the point of view, okay, someone coming in that's not, you know, rubbing two dimes together and trying to figure out how they're going to catch up with the, you know, the rest of their life, to, you know, because a lot of people thinking, I'm too far behind, I'll never catch up. But you're in a situation where you're in a good position, so we're going to hear your plan when we come back and see what you thought up and how you got into it so quickly as you did. So we'll take a short break. We'll be right back with Ed and the Del Walmsley Radio Show.
Walmsley talks about finding that one thing that made sense for the lifestyle.
I looked at franchises. I looked at multi-level marketing. I looked at everything in the world. But nothing made as much sense as buying one simple little rental property.
Real estate is your best option. Real estate makes sense. Lifestyles Unlimited will teach you how to buy your first rental property. Join our live online free workshop to find out more. Register at lifestylesunlimitedworkshop.com.
Welcome back. Now here's some more unconventional wisdom to set you free from the man on a mission to retire America, one person at a time, Del Walmsley.
Welcome back to Del Walmsley Radio Show. Here on the Tell Del's version of the show, we like to bring lots of different types of people in. The concept is that no one person is relatable to everybody. And so I always say people relate to about 10% of the audience out there. This gentleman, though, probably only relates to maybe 5% because he came in here and he'd already won the financial battle with making money and saving money. So he came in ready to get started. Now, Ed, you joined in 2013, it says here, but you were aiming for retirement in 2018. By the way, folks, just because I haven't said it so far, he currently has 20 properties with 4,558 units. So I neglected to say that in the first segment. I think it makes him more interesting to listen to if you realize that. As we get started here, Ed, when you came out of the blocks, you came out of the two-day, what was your mindset?
my mindset was, you know, I tell you, Dell, the thing that impressed me the most is, and I actually had the pleasure of attending one of your 2-day seminars back then. And what happened was, is you gave an example of a property that really resonated well with me. It was something like, something to the effect where it was a 20 unit property, and it was going to cost it was going to cost $1 million. And then once you were done, you know, you were going to generate $10,000 a month cash. Something, I don't know if I have the numbers exactly right, but it was a goal that to me that was very doable. And when I looked at that, and I said, yeah, that makes absolute sense to me. There's no reason why I can't do something like that. So that's what really struck me is, yeah, that is something that I can believe in and I can do.
So the concept, you being an engineer, is let's break it down in component parts, and the component parts are very digestible, seems to work well. Tell us how you got started. Did you start out of the blocks as a passive investor? And if so, how did you decide which property to buy first?
Yeah, what happened was, you know, when I first looked at it, I took a look at the single family, and being with the, you know, conservative background I had and so forth, to me, and this isn't true, right? It was just my perception of what was going on, is that the single family was too risky. Because if I had a vacancy, right, then all of a sudden I don't have any rent come in. Now, you know, there's different approaches and different mentalities to this, right? There's other folks that'll come in and say, well, Ed, you know, I can own 10 single family homes, and that's just like having a multifamily and so forth. So there's arguments to be said for that. But I just felt more comfortable and I felt more safe in the multifamily. You know, not to mention that in the 2-day that we learned about this, what are the advantages of the single family? And what I saw is that even the folks that were approaching the single family were eventually stepping up to get the, you know, to reap the rewards that are happening in the multifamily. So when I saw that and I, you know, took a look at the reserves I had and so forth, and I said, well, I think I'm more lined up into going into the multifamily. So once I decided that, yeah, multifamily is the way for me to go, what I did is I started networking and going to every single event I could go to that Lifestyles put on, right? So being I was living in Austin, I was going to San Antonio, I was going to Houston, I was going to Dallas, and I was just going out meeting as many folks. I did them all.
Why do I see this picture of a guy that doesn't have a life? I was like, well, I'm going to go everywhere.
Exactly. So went out, met everybody, and then, you know, eventually kind of learned my way through it. Of course, I had mentors as well that were helping me along the way with it. And just through that, learned as much as I could. I think the biggest thing that Lifestyles brings is when you're at these events, you're seeing people present case studies. And, you know, after you see these case studies, you look at them and go, you know something? If that person can do it, I can do it. So I think, you know, through all that, it gave me the confidence to go in and do my first investment.
You know, as funny as that sounds, Ed, that's exactly right. That's why I started the case studies 30 years ago. People come up there and go, like, well, you know, you, listen, you're gregarious, you're loud, you're a bodybuilder, you know, you've been in sales. You can do it. Not little old me. And then you bring up a little old grandma that's about 5 foot tall, weighs nothing, and she's telling you about her portfolio. And then you go like, man, I feel like such a dunce right now, you know? There I was thinking this was some big, incredible thing to do, and she did it. So that's great. I want to ask you, though, Ed, for the people that are sitting on the sidelines getting ready to do that first deal, how did you decide which deal to make your first deal?
Yeah, that's a good question. So I think when you go into this, it's a learning process. You have to learn what type of investor you are along the way. And I didn't know that in the beginning, right? I'm just kind of looking at the deals. And, of course, I did everything I could to use the learning that I had from Lifestyles, both in the live meetings and also from the wealth of information that we have on the web with Lifestyles to learn. And, you know, tried to put together the technical analysis, which, of course, is what I'm very familiar with, right, being an engineer. And, you know, looking at the numbers and so forth. So that's only part of the story. The other part of the story is there's the people factor. And, you know, it's another tremendous thing about the Lifestyles organization. The people there are absolutely wonderful to work with and so forth. They talk about like-minded people and so forth. It's absolutely true. So what happened was you know, looking back on it, of course, you have more knowledge now than you did then. Is, you know, I just went out and I just took blind faith and stepped into my first deal. Right, I put the toes in the water and went for it. And then what happens is as you get into these deals, you learn what kind of investor you are. Right, so some folks they say, you know, I prefer to have brand new investors in there because you know the take is a little bit smaller on the front end, and they have to work harder to prove themselves, right? And then you'll have other investors say, you know, I like the big mamma jamma deal where there's, you know, two buildings and 500 units and so forth. And then I spread my risk out amongst all the different units and so forth. So you actually find, you know, as you're doing this, you're going to find that there's different personalities evolve in how they invest and what they look for.
Yeah, that's true. So did you put more weight on the, I call it the jockey, on the guy running the operation, or do you put more weight on the deal itself? Because as an engineer, you analyze the deals very easily. Which one did you put more weight in?
Yeah, going in, of course, you know, I think sometimes, you know, the first instinct is it always correct. The first instinct was to go with the technical analysis and rely on that because that, you know, that I knew, right? And the numbers are there. But what I did end up finding out is it really, truly is all about the jockey. So now, you know, now what's happened is in the beginning, I tended to have a wider breadth in my portfolio. What I noticed is that's happening going forward is that breadth, the number of investors that I'm investing with has tended to narrow a little bit. So right now, yeah, I definitely am more focused on the jockey.
You know, in my many, many years of being in business, it has to be 40-plus years, I can tell you that when I ran health clubs, you give me a manager, put the best manager in the worst club, and it becomes the best club. Take the best club and put the worst manager in, it becomes the worst club. It absolutely is all about people when it comes to business. So I think you nailed that one right on the head. Well, being an ambassador is really a fun thing to do, and I want to get back to being the lead investor that was syndicating the deal is more important than the actual technical numbers in the deal, and I agree with that 100%. Let's go to the next step, though. Now, as a engineer, as an intelligent guy who's done well, saved his money, done wisely, you start to think about how do you want your portfolio to look, and you mentioned it very astutely by saying you find out what kind of an investor you are. Well, what kind of a diversification, that isn't even a word, I was going to make a word up, Ed. What kind of diversification were you looking for in your portfolio? Yeah, I mean, are you? And I say that, okay, you diversify. You said you've leaned down on the number of leads that you've been using, so you feel that you've got enough diversification that way. What about locational diversification? What about size diversification? What about deal type diversification? Tell us about your thoughts on diversification.
Yeah, the very first thing, obviously, you go for is the lead, right? The next thing is that I got into about 2 years ago was geographic diversification, right? So I do have a property in Atlanta. There's one in Phoenix. There's one in. There's also one in Fresno, California, which is exciting to me because that's where my daughter lives. So I want to have something local close to her.
Okay, so you're spreading it out quite a bit. Reasoning behind that? You believe that one part of the country might be in problems while the other one's not, or you just like the idea that I can travel and it'd be a business expense everywhere I go?
Yeah, that did come across my mind when, you know, with the Fresno one, but no, it just felt like another level of diversification, right? In that, if some of the areas of the country are doing well and others aren't, like, you know, for instance, some areas of the country might be dependent on oil, some other areas of the country might be dependent on technology, right? So what you're hoping is through, you know, somewhere the jobs are always moving, right? They're always being created somewhere. So, you know, and that drives a lot of the pricing on these properties and so forth is the number of people moving into the area. So, you know, by trying to get into different places that have different economies, I was hoping to gain a little bit more diversification and safety in the portfolio.
Absolutely. I agree with that also. And the last level of diversification that I've looked at is, see if you had thought on this at all, what about market size? You know, you get these, you know, when things are great, these big market areas, the prices get so darn high, you can't buy at a low price anymore. You got to go to a tertiary markets to find deals that look interesting again. Do you have any tertiary market type stuff?
Yeah, well, I would put Fresno in that tertiary market, right? That's a smaller market. Most of the other markets that I'm in right now, you know, obviously the Atlanta is a huge market, Phoenix is a huge market, but yeah, that's another thing that I'm going to look at. I have looked at, we've had properties come up for offer, like in Cincinnati and so forth, that looked good. It just wasn't the right time for me to invest in that particular area. But, yeah, I will look at that as well.
All right. The next question, the natural question here, these are just, they come right down the path of what you should be thinking about when you're doing this. The next one is, what is your plan as far as rotational change? In other words, do you have deals that are short-term deals that do dry up, get sold, or 1031, or, you know, whatever? And then, or do you have all long-term deals? How about the timing of your deals? Have you thought that through at all?
Yeah, I haven't. I'm still, you know, I'd say for that part of it, I don't have the longevity there. So right now I've been at this for, even though I've been a lifestyle firm since 2013, the first investment I made was in 2016. So I've been at this about 3.5, going on 4 years in September. So I haven't had that, but I am finding that, you know, when I originally did it, I went in with the mentality, oh, I'll just have these properties and they're just going to throw off cash for the rest of my life, right? But that's not the case, right? So that will come into play, I think, going forward with this as I'm starting to see. Like, I just had my first property sell this past year, and I had two cash out refis this year as well. So that will definitely play into my analysis going forward. I just haven't had quite enough experience with that there to give you a firm answer on exactly what that strategy will be.
Well, let me shed some light on some of that for you then, Ed. One of the things that I found is that I went through this growing curve because I didn't have a lot of money when I started. So, you know, I'd do a 20 unit and we'd make it worth double what it was and we'd sell it. And then I'd have double the money so I could go do a 40 unit and so on, so forth, all the way up until I got up to thousands of units. Then I got to the point where I didn't like the old stuff. I just got in my head, I don't want to own 60 stuff anymore. I guess it was, you know, all the stuff, the pipes and stuff that wore out. Then I got in my head, I didn't want to own 70s. I thought 70s were cool when I got into 70s and got out of 60s, right? And then when I went to 80s, I go, man, this is like, I'm like a, this is high cotton. This is a Southern saying. This is some good stuff, right? In the 80s, now I don't even like 80s anymore. Now all I want is 2000 newer type stuff. And so that creates a need to keep selling. You know, you're getting rid of the older stuff. And I'd learned that from a guy that runs one of the largest companies here in the country. I just happened to be sitting and having a drink with him one day. And I said, you know, how do you guys do this? I think it was Camden Property Trust, the name of the place. And he was saying, well, what we do is we don't let our average life of any business of our properties get more than 10 years. So we may have one that's 15 years, but we've got another one that's 5. So the average doesn't, you know, go longer than 10 years. And, you know, I've just sort of, you know, hit him up for that about why that was so important. And he was talking about it's just something that real estate ages. You got to keep moving forward. You know, otherwise you end up with old stuff and you're not the cutting edge business company you want to be. So I thought that was interesting. And, you know, it's not right for everybody because I know other people. I own 3 small properties. I owned them for 15 years and they just cranked out money like there was no tomorrow. But I do know, Ed, a lot of beginner investors, if you're out there consulting and mentoring, that have figured out that if you want to get the highest and the fastest returns, go and hence you get that big capital gain. And I know myself at different points in my career, I think there's been about, I'll just guess, 3 or 4 different ones. I sold off all my houses. That was one turning point. I sold off all my old 60s stuff. 70 stuff, that was a turning point. Then I'd sold off all my 80 stuff and went newer than that into the 2000s. So maybe 4 times in my life, I just got rid of everything. and said, okay, I'm going back down to zero. I'm starting over. But, man, did I start over with a lot more money or what? You know, you wake up and you go, like, you know, you're talking about you having your little mill, you know, little mill in the bank, and that's a nice little pillow. But then you wake up one day and you got 20 mil in the bank or you got 40 mil in the bank. And, wow, where did all that money come from? You know, it's just because it's sitting in equity all over the place. So it's an interesting thing to do. I bring that up to you because you are a mentor and because you're out there, you know, being an ambassador. And so the more stories you got to carry around with you, the better off you are. When we come back from break, I'm going to talk a little bit about being an ambassador. Let's talk about where you're going with yourself. Where do you see yourself 5 years, 10 years down the line? What are your plans for your portfolio and your life? And then the last part, we'll come back in and talk about being a mentor and really an ambassador. We'll take a short break. Be right back.
Del Wamsley on Having a Plan.
The year I got cancer and could not work for 8 months, I lost 50 pounds. I want to tell you that I made $4 million that year. I made more that year than any year I'd ever made previous to that in my life. And I'm not telling you that to impress you. I'm telling you that to impress upon you. I didn't go to work for 8 months. That's a plan.
Create your plan at Lifestyles Unlimited's live online free workshop. Register at LifestylesUnlimitedWorkshop.com.
Welcome back. Now here's some more unconventional wisdom to set you free from the man on a mission to retire America, one person at a time, Del Wamsley.
Welcome back to Del Wamsley Radio Show. With me here today on Tell Del is Ed Dreas out of Las Vegas. Actually, Ed, do you now live in Las Vegas or did you move to Seattle? You talked about you got a job up there. Where are you staying at now?
I'm living in Seattle, yes.
Mm-hmm. Yep, in Seattle, okay. So let's talk about where your plans are for yourself, what your plans are for yourself into the future now. I mean, we got, just for everybody tuning in, 4 years, you've got 4,558 units, 20 properties, 17 different deals you've done. You've got a lot under your belt. What do you see going on for you in the next 5 to 10 years here?
Okay, so what was supposed to happen, Del? Last time we chatted, I think, was back in August of 2018, and I announced, oh, I'm going to retire in October. And, you know, because you know that TV commercial where there's the chair out on the ocean with the beer on it?
Yeah.
That was supposed to be my chair. That was supposed to be me sitting on that chair in one of the 7,000 islands in the Philippines archipelago. And, you know, life didn't quite work out that way. So, you know, there's a bunch of things that happened all at once at that particular time. And, one of them was, I would say, the biggest thing that happened to me at that particular time was my daughter came up and announced to me that she was pregnant and there was complications. So any thought of retirement at that time quickly went aside, because then the thought was, okay, well, I need to step in and make sure that she's going to be okay. So we had a family meeting. And we got together with my daughter, Kate, Katie, and her husband, Craig. And in the family meeting, we decided, oh, Dad needs to go back to work. So Dad is back to work now. So we're coming up on, at the end of that. So I do see myself at this particular point, as a matter of fact, it's going to happen probably fairly quickly, that I will be retired here in the next couple months. Or, you know, I don't know if retire is the right word, but I'll be a full-time investor. Going forward.
Did the baby come out okay?
Oh, yeah, thank you. Yeah, the baby is absolutely, absolutely beautiful. Both mom and baby, they really fought for that little guy's life. She was bedridden for a while and so forth, had dehydration issues and so forth, but the baby is doing absolutely wonderful. He's 10 months old now. He's big, he's strong, and just an absolute joy.
Let's shift gears. Tell us a little bit about being an ambassador. Tell us what you do as an ambassador for members of Lifestyles.
Sure. So being an ambassador, this kind of comes from the fact that I do enjoy teaching. And this comes from when I was younger and so forth. I taught at the university level because I found computers at the time I thought were, you know, weren't being taught correctly and so forth. It really wasn't that hard. So and it's also, not only do I enjoy the teaching part of it, but it's mainly about giving back and helping people, right? So in that ambassador role, it's very much about helping people. So what we'll do is, as ambassadors, as a matter of fact, we just had a, I just got a contact from Terry Gilblair, of a gentleman who just moved into the area, and he's looking to make contacts. So, you know, we'll you know, talk to the new people that come into the area that are members of Lifestyles and so forth, help them get established, help them meet the other members. We'll call meetings, on a quarterly basis. As a matter of fact, we're about to do a virtual meeting coming up where we're going to talk to one of the brokers and talk about the state of the economy and multifamily investment in the area. So we'll call meetings like that. We'll also, any of the Lifestyles meetings that occur in the area, whether it's the two-day event, the one-day event, and you know, there's a whole host of different events that Lifestyles does in the area, you know, we'll help support those as well, whether they need help with finding venues or, you know, whatever help they need, we'll run in and do, right? So it's kind of a jack-of-all-trades type thing. We're there to help, you know, facilitate people learning all about real estate and, you know, helping keeping the business moving forward.
So you're sort of the arms, the legs, the eyes, the ears, the mouth, and the brain of the localized group of people there. I knew when I first started this thing a long time ago that it was going to be a great thing right there in Houston where I was at. Because I was right there in Houston, and I love people, and I love to take care of people, and I love to have meetings, I love to help people, and man, it was great. But then I tried to figure out how to go somewhere else, and I realized there just wasn't any more of me. There was only one, and that's when I slowly began to realize how important it was going to be to have other people that were as psychologically involved as I was and have the desire. So the benefits, and this is the thing I want you to share with everybody, I always found great benefit in having a little real estate group when I first started. There's this thing about being in the middle of all of this. I found, number one, that if you teach, you learn much better yourself. But I also found that it's the, you know, which comes first, chicken or the egg, in what we call a co-op. Until you have people, you don't have any buying power. Right, but until you have something to offer, you can't attract people. So, how as a ambassador up there, which part of the chicken and the egg did you work on first? Accumulating the people, or going and getting things and events for them to do?
Accumulating the people, right? So that's what I went for first. And because what I figure there is, you accumulate the people, then what's happened is they created a need. They're like, hey, we need to know this, we need to know that. And then, you know, that drives me into solving each one of those issues as we go further.
I got it. Well, Ed, I really appreciate you coming on the radio today and sharing your story. And again, Everett Census is multiple times you've been on, but I appreciate you being out there, being an ambassador, especially in two different cities. So you're part of the give back machine. Thank you very much.
You're welcome, and thank you for having me on the show, Del.
Keep up the great work. I can't wait to have you on when you have 9,000 units. Go out there and get 9,000. How about 20? No, great job, man. Keep it up. And for the rest of you out there, remember this. Ed is doing this not just for money. He's had money. He's doing it for that quality lifestyle that we all dream of, we all look forward to. And now that he's got the family problems out of the way, he's going to have this year. Again, it's not the money. It's the lifestyle. Have a wonderful day. I'll see you guys tomorrow.
Thank you for listening to the Del Walmsley Radio Show, teaching you the opposite of everything you've been taught, so you can obtain the results you've never obtained. Join us 7 days a week. Can't get enough? Visit DellOnTheRadio.com to listen to the Del Walmsley Radio Show, access past show podcasts, and join the conversation.
The information and opinions you hear on the Del Walmsley Radio Show are those of the host, Del Walmsley, his guests, and his callers, and do not necessarily reflect the opinions of this station, its affiliates, its management, or advertisers. The Del Walmsley Show is for entertainment purposes only. Please consult a professional regarding your personal investment needs. Nothing presented on the Del Walmsley Show constitutes an endorsement, recommendation, offer, or solicitation to buy or sell any product or security.